Welcome to The Ride, Life, Work, and Wealth Podcast, brought to you by Green Private Wealth, a trade name of Harborfront Wealth Management. We're here to give you tips and strategies to help you get ahead and have your money start working smarter for you. We don't just help people plan for a secure tomorrow, we help you plan for a better today. Let's get to it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the most recent episode of the Ride Podcast. And today I'm your host, one of your hosts, Chris Durow, and I'm here with Mike Pacrestless. And today we're going to talk about a topic that's been getting more and more attention, and we're going to go through a few easy ways to protect seniors from financial abuse. Technology has helped streamline the way we manage our money. Simple to say, and it's allowed us to perform transactions and monitor accounts online and all kinds of things instead of needing to do all that in person. COVID obviously fast-forwarded this even more so, and the tools are getting simpler, easier to use, and getting better every year. But with benefits comes risks, and especially for our senior population, this has been increasing with financial abuse because of the technology. This vulnerable population is more likely to fall victim to the fraud and abuse that has come along with this digital revolution. So whether it's phishing attempts, fraudulent lotteries, or exploitation by deceitful caregivers, these threats are becoming more common, but also much more sophisticated and easier to identify. So we're going to go through a few ways to mitigate these risks, and I'll start with one, which is facilitating discussions. With seniors, their family members have an important role in this, where they can even help them with the prevention, which starts with awareness, and initiate regular family conversations about the various forms of financial abuse that there is currently. This proactive approach not only educates the seniors and your family members, but it also creates a supportive environment where they feel comfortable sharing these concerns, because you don't want them to feel like if something did happen, that they feel foolish, that they were tricked, and now they're scared that their family's going to yank away their rights to manage their own finances. So it's just important that they know there's a safe place to discuss if they feel that something isn't right online with their accounts, or if they have fell victim to these activities, that they feel comfortable enough to come tell you. You don't want to just be losing it and saying, "Oh my God, Dad, I can't believe you actually fell for that. Like, come on." Like, of course, you don't want them to even think that's going to be an option, because then they'll be nervous to share any of that. So I can't stress that enough, because we've seen that happen. Discussing with them the newest attempts, if you hear things in the news, sharing articles. There's also even some communities have workshops on financial scams for seniors to help educate them on this. There's many resources in regards to this. If you're watching YouTube or Facebook, there's unlimited info on this and like the new scams that are always popping up, which unfortunately is a lot. So you have to kind of be aware and try to somewhat stay up to date. Another one is just simplifying finances. So streamlining finances can significantly help elders in managing their money. This can involve reducing like the number of credit cards, consolidating bank accounts, setting up automatic bill payments. Simplification makes it much easier for seniors to track and monitor finances, reducing the risk of unnoticed fraudulent activity, because with a lot of seniors, they've collected a lot of financial products and accounts over the years. We see this. And by having less of those, you're able to be more aware if there is a fraudulent activity going on, versus if you have all kinds of numerous accounts, it might be harder to pick up from an account you're not regularly active with. Next is, and it kind of falls into this once again, is regular monitoring. So it's important to consistently review financial statements for suspicious activity. Every month, I do this, going through credit card activity, transactions with your checking account. Just get in the habit of doing that every single month. And looking for key warning signs, which I'll go through a couple here, is such things as unusual withdrawals or transfers, which is pretty obvious. I will say large, which are easy to identify, but even small ones. Like I remember a year ago or 2 years ago, there was that scam where they were literally taking less than a dollar out. It was actually almost pennies, but it was every day across a whole bunch of different accounts, which would obviously accumulate to a different amount. And it's not that that's going to necessarily financial ruin someone if they're only taking a little bit out each day or each month, but at the end of the day, your information has been compromised. So even if you see something as small as that, you definitely want to let your credit card company or financial institution know. Do not just let that go. So that just goes back to unfamiliar transfers, transactions, or any unauthorized access to the accounts. Also, any like missing deposits, expected deposits do not appear in the account as scheduled. Like if you're expecting regular pays and things like that, and all of a sudden it's delayed by a day or two, you definitely want to look into that. Any odd charges from unknown sources or unfamiliar services or products that you don't recognize the name, you definitely want to look into that as well too. And changing in spending patterns. So a deviation from regular spending habits that may signal that someone else is using the account. So this is, it's kind of interesting that we're actually taping this right now, because literally this morning I woke up and my wife Tina was asking me if I woke up in the middle of the night and was buying a bunch of things on Amazon, because we had six Amazon charges on our credit card. Not the biggest one was $196, and the rest of them were all obviously under that. How do we catch it? Well, we had notifications where if anything is spent on our credit card, we get an email for any online purchases. So we wake up in the morning and she's got six emails. Well, these scammers are also smart, and they do that knowing that if people are smart enough to have those alerts, they know that most likely during those hours, people are going to be sleeping. And that's exactly what happened. However, we called the credit card company right away, and yes, the credit card was compromised. We'll be covered, and it's not going to come out of our pocket, but it was just very good that we had those alerts emailed to us, since we were able to catch it immediately versus charges that would have accumulated and gone on for quite a while. So setting up these alerts for these activities, as you can see from that example that literally happened this morning, is quite beneficial. And that's a few tips that I had. And now I'll pass it off. Mike, is there anything that you want to add?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. You know, to start, definitely you want to secure your legal documents. You want to make sure that everything, wills, trusts, and power of attorneys are regularly updated and that you're securely storing them. Engaging a trusted attorney or a financial advisor for periodic reviews helps in maintaining these documents and their relevance and your understanding of them. You definitely want to limit the access to these documents to only a few trusted individuals, like a designated family member or a financial advisor, while you keep the rest of the family informed about their existence and, importantly, also their location. You know, another great one, too, which came out recently, is the trusted contact person, which you can actually set up with your financial institution so that if you're not available, they can reach out to the person you have identified as your trusted contact person. And this person can't make any trades on your behalf or withdraw any money, but there's someone to be able to sort of oversee and be able to reach out in the event that they see something that is suspicious. And, you know, building on that, we definitely recommend that you exercise caution in sharing information. Emphasize to your loved ones the critical importance of never sharing personal information, such as your social insurance number, account numbers, or other financial details. I'll never over the phone unless you're the one initiating the call. This is very important. It's vital in preventing identity theft. And you really want to teach them how to verify the identity of the callers and legitimacy of their requests as well. Even when they claim to be representing a well-known organization, never take it at face value. And, you know, additionally, educating seniors about scammers' tactics, like creating urgency or using threatening language, is crucial to prevent them from being manipulated into divulging sensitive information. And by using these strategies, we not only protect our seniors from financial predators, but we also empower them with the confidence and the tools to manage their finances safely. And in doing so, we ensure that their golden years are marked by peace and security rather than uncertainty and risk. Chris, anything else you wanted to add?
No, thanks for adding that in. And this is obviously, it's a huge problem that continues to keep increasing. It's not just necessarily seniors here, although they are a more vulnerable part of the population. We get just alerts from our IT security alone here, and it's significant, the amount of threats that are coming across, and it's increasing more and more every day. So it is important to definitely pay attention to this. There's also other services, like there's identity protection services and things like that, that you can get added onto your accounts, even like for your credit score and things like that. All of those are starting to become more of the norm that are really important to have. Years ago, we kind of knew they were there and some people would have them, some don't, but these are becoming more of a necessity of a regular thing that everybody should have to protect their finances with how much the cyber crime and everything else is increasing. So anyways, listeners, thank you for, as always, for chiming in and listening to what we have to say in regards to personal finance. And any questions, or if you ever need to contact us, you can go to our website, which is greenprivatewealth.com, and contact us through there. Thanks.
You've reached the end of another episode of The Ride. Connect with us on our website, greenprivatewealth.com, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify for more financial insights. Until next time. Any viewer opinion expressed in this presentation are solely those of the representative and do not necessarily represent those of Harborfront Wealth Management, Inc. The information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable. However, accuracy is not guaranteed. The information transmitted is intended to provide general guidance on matters of interest for the personal use of the viewer, who accepts full responsibility for its use, and is not to be considered a definitive analysis of the law and factual situations of any individual or entity. Any asset classes featured in this presentation are for illustration purposes only and should not be viewed as a solicitation to buy or sell. Past performance does not necessarily predict future performance, and each asset class has its own risks. As such, this content should not be used as a substitute for consultation with professional tax, legal, or professional advisors. Prior to making any decision or taking any action, you should consult with a licensed professional advisor. Harborfront Wealth Management, Inc. is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Canadian Investment Regulatory Organization, formerly IROC.